For even if you weren't here last week, I can refresh your memory or give you a memory to have. Last week, we talked about three buzzwords that you would hear on college campuses, especially seminary campuses. Who remembers what one of the buzzwords was? What? Story. Yeah, telling your story. Another one? We talked about in the adult class today, relationship. And then the third one was communication. You need all three of those. You need to be able to communicate if you want to have a relationship. And after communicating over a period of time, you feel comfortable enough to then share your story with somebody. We also talked about how God communicates to us daily. All you need to do is look out those windows, and God is communicating to us through nature. God communicates through His Word. God communicates to us through Christian friends, through music, through art, through architecture. There are many ways God communicates with us. Another thing I did last week, and I'd like you to continue with this challenge, is I made a challenge, and I said, every time you use your cell phone or somebody sends you a text message, think about when was the last time you talked with God, and take some time to talk to Him. We talked about how there are many genres of prayer, and I had breakfast with a good friend of mine, Bob Swed, the man who plays saxophone for us sometimes, this past week, and he was saying, prayer is simply speaking with God, and that's true. But there are times we use certain prayers, certain genres. If you remember last week, we talked about, Ben Dickinson talked about an inward prayer in which you ask God to transform you or to reveal to you what your purpose in life is. And then we talked about upward prayer, and Chris did a great job. She always does a great job at staff meetings or when we pray one-on-one, and that is showing God how much you adore Him for who He is. Finally, we talked about Jesus in the temple, and when He was upset with the money changers and the people that were selling sacrifices at raised prices, He said, my house is to be a house of prayer, not a house of meetings, not a house of education, not a house of stained glass and incense, but a house of prayer. To fulfill what my friend Noreen would like me to do, I'm going to start out with a joke. So you have you've probably heard about the atheist hotline. You dial and it rings and rings and rings and rings. Sorry. Yeah. Bad joke. Okay. So one of the things I am very fortunate to do is to work with the International Young Adults over at University of Michigan Dearborn. Actually, 2 years ago, I had a group of people doing a lot of praying for me, intercessory prayer, because at that point, my position went from being a paid position, paid out of the offerings that you offer up so generously each week, and it went to a missionary position. And a missionary position, just to refresh your memory, is where the people that believe in your cause will donate money. I have to thank the Converge attendees, especially those who have jobs, because they have donated over 50% of my salary. Now, the way my work week is divided up is I spend 4 hours as a commissioned lay pastor here at church and 16 hours, the majority of my position, working with the young adults. Now, I've gone to Peru for the last 14 years. In the first year, I have to admit, I only went because our daughter wanted to go. And there was no way I was letting her go on the other side of the equator without Dad being there. But after going there one time and seeing the passion that our young adults and adults had for working with these orphans, it really touched my heart. Now, as you know, not all of these boys that we work with are actually orphans. Some of them mutually, their family has dropped them off to stay at these centers because of reasons such as not having enough money to care for the entire family or simply not getting along with each other. I am sure that God put me in this missionary position working in Peru to prepare me to work with the young adults that I work with. I'm amazed going to a foreign country, especially a country where you don't speak the language, you don't know the food, you don't know the customs. So my heart was really touched going to Peru and then working with the young adults here in the United States. Now, this morning in the adult class, we talked about people who say they know Jesus, but maybe they don't show it in the way they act. And so I consider those people as much orphans as people who don't know Jesus at all. Both are considered orphans. And when you think about our reading this morning, that really touches my heart. Now, I think Jesus's words in Matthew 7 say it all. So I'd like you to listen to these words. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fail because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, today we're going to talk about two different genres of prayer. One is intercessory prayer, where we pray for other people, and we pray because there's nothing or very little that we can actually do, that we have to turn it all over to God. And let me give you an example of this. Many of the young adults I work with, the international young adults, have to get a Michigan driver's license. They may have a driver's license in India, but they need to get a Michigan one. So I will take them out on the road and drive with them. I will drive them over to where they need to take their test, but I can't take the tests for them. I can't drive with an instructor. As a matter of fact, as you probably know, you can't even ride along with them. So I stay back over in the field by Kroger and simply pray for them, intercessory prayer, that they will do well. And then we're going to talk about the prayer of supplication. And supplication is where you pray over and over. And I have a quote by John Calvin, and he says, we must repeat the same supplications, not twice or three times daily only, but as often as we need, 100, yes, even 1,000 times. We must never be weary in praying for God's help. Emily Griffin, in her book called Clinging, The Experience of Prayer, says to pray means willing to be naive. Now, many times I will ask for somebody in a group to open with a prayer, and they will say to me, oh, Pastor, I can't pray. Well, if you can have a conversation, you can pray. That's what prayer is. So I'm going to call on my two friends to come up, Marge and Noreen, and they're going to tell you, I'm going to ask them some questions, and they're going to tell you about their experiences with intercessory prayer and prayer of supplication. So I have a microphone for both of you. There you go, Marge. Sit in the middle. And I have some water here in case you get a little dry. So, Noreen, if you would describe to our family of faith how you think you injured yourself. Hold it real close.
Okay. Sorry, guys. So, yeah. I had a severe back pain. The right after the day I graduated from UFM Dearborn, there could be three possible reasons I can think of. It could be because of my posture. I am 6 feet two, so there are a lot of chances, I could have a back pain. The other reason could be because of the bad posture I did my workout in. And the third reason could be because of the long hours of sitting during my graduation day.
So I went up to University of Michigan Ann Arbor to watch Noreen walk across the stage. And I was amazed there were so many students graduating that the entire ceremony took about 6 hours. So like Noreen said, he might have had this severe back pain for sitting so long. Maybe his posture wasn't good when he was sitting. Or I know another thing that Noreen, you had told me, is that you had started living a more holistic life, eating healthy, exercising, and we thought possibly the exercise may have done it. But I know Noreen and I were going over to Marge's the following day, the day after graduation, to do some yard work for her. And Noreen texted me in the morning and said, I can't possibly do the yard work. My back is really messed up. I don't know what I did. So I went over to visit him. And like Noreen says, he is 6 feet two. And when he came to the doorway, he was about my height, about 5'7", because he was so bent over and in such severe pain. So Noreen, from one, which would hardly be any pain, to 10, excruciating pain, how bad was your pain?
I would say 11.
11. Good. After you contacted me, I asked if you were okay with me adding your name to our church's prayer chain. Do you remember what your reply was?
The pain was real bad. I wanted to be out of it in one way or other. And Pastor Mike said, like, I will add to my church prayer chain. And I was like, okay, Pastor, do it. I'm in.
So I called up Chris, our parish nurse, who's in charge of our prayer chain. And I asked that Noreen's name be added. But I also asked that people who had cell phones who could text Noreen would text him and let him know that they were praying for him, because I think sometimes knowing people are praying for you, it makes a difference. So Noreen, how did you feel after people started praying and texting you?
Yeah, like I don't have like the right words to express how I felt, but it felt really great. In the sense, like, people who has never seen me who has never talked to me, they prayed for me, they thought about me. That felt really great. You know, like when we have a back pain or a back injury, other than taking medicines, we have to do some exercise and not give up to, you know, like to work on it and get the pain away. So we need to have like this, when Pastor Mike said, and when a lot of people texted me, it gave me the hope like my pain will go away and I have to keep going forward. It felt really great, like people are thinking for me, and it gave me just the hope. The word Pastor Mike says, like he always wants to give hope to people. Yeah, it felt that way. It was great. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, I remember Lorraine saying to me that he was amazed that people that didn't even know him, that maybe had never even met him in our congregation, were taking the time to pray for him, and then were texting him, letting him know that they were praying. And Lorraine also told me that you practice yoga and you did some simple steps. It gave you hope and courage to try to work along with these prayers to work out your back. So, Lorraine, do you think people prayed only once or multiple times?
I know people prayed for multiple times. They prayed for me. They texted me and asked like how I was, like how I was recovering with. So I remember only Chris Meyer's name. So but a lot of people, really great people I have texted with, I don't remember their names, but they prayed for me multiple times of the week and they checked with my progress.
So how soon would you say after people started praying that you started feeling relief?
I would say like right the next day after people started praying for me, I started recovering, and in the next 2 days, like I was out of pain. I was almost 95% recovered.
Yeah, I remember Lorraine and I go running together 3 times a week. And the day after people started praying, I asked him how he was doing. And he said, the pain's gone. It's miraculous. So, Lorraine, I'm going to have you stay up here while I ask Marge a few questions. Marge, how long have you been a part of the Prayer Chain group, would you say?
Oh, as long as I can remember, for many, many years.
I remember you said something to me about it's probably been as long as you've owned a computer.
As long as what?
You've owned a computer.
Yeah. No, even before that.
Even before that, mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
We had the telephone.
Okay. Oh, the one that's attached to the wall?
And that's how the chain worked.
Okay. Okay. So, Marge, what compelled you to become involved with this group?
Well, we were new members of the church, and I just thought it would be a wonderful way of getting to know my new family of faith and being able to help them when I was able to.
Okay, very good. So, Marge, why do you feel that intercessory prayer is so important?
Mike, that was a great question. And I threw that question out at many people. Everybody knows that praying for someone else is wonderful, but why? Why do we think it's wonderful? Well, I came up with some suggestions or some ideas. I thought that it was my way of showing my love for someone. And the more people praying for an individual gives power to the prayer. The Bible says that praying for others is a privilege given to us by God. Sometimes it's the only way you can help someone. And it gives me satisfaction to do something good for someone. But after I thought about that, I couldn't help thinking about the event in the past week. with the 12 young boys and their coach, being in a cave for 18 days and watching the Navy SEALs from all over the world come to help them and devise a method of bringing those boys out. And one by one, they all came out. And I imagine there were many prayers all over the world for those boys. And I say to you, that was a miracle. And I can go back to the question, why do I feel that praying for someone else is so important? And that's why.
Thank you. Thank you, Marge. So, Marge, how do you go about intercessory prayer? Do you follow any sort of a pattern?
No, I don't really follow a pattern. My major prayers are in the evening. I do some prayers in the morning. And during the day, if I hear of someone in need, I will pray for them.
So, Marge, do you know how long a person stays on the prayer chain? And
for as long as needed. I have people on my prayer chain for years. So, and I must say, one of the people is Tracy, and I see her today in church, and it's a wonderful feeling.
Thank you. Well, I had a few people notice, and actually I left before my wife and daughter got to see me, but I had a few people notice that I'm wearing red shoes. This will probably be the last time you'll ever see me up front wearing red shoes. I'm sure my wife will be sure of it. But Noreen has red shoes too. And one of the reasons why we wore these red shoes is because I know that both Noreen and Marge were a bit nervous about doing this. And I'm sure last week Chris was a bit nervous. So we have formed the Red Shoe Gang, and it's basically to step out of our box. And in a little bit, I'll be asking all of you to step out of your box, so get ready. So thank you so much, both of you. Okay, so as they both are returning to their seats, I noticed Deva's back there. And Deva, would you come up? Thank you. Now, this part was not rehearsed at all, so Deva's probably wondering what's going on. Deva, please have a seat. We'll give you a microphone, too. So Deva is my friend that has moved to Peoria, Illinois, and has what I would consider a dream job with Caterpillar. He started at GM, and I remember last year he met with me, and he was very excited that he was offered this job, and he said, "Do you think I should take it?" And I told him, "Well, if I want to be... If I want to just focus in on myself, no, don't take it. But you need to take this job," and it was a good choice. One of the things I want to make sure everybody understands about prayer is I am not a name it and claim it type person. In other words, if I would never think of praying to God for a brand new Mercedes-Benz to be parked in my driveway and the keys on the counter. So the reason I called Deva up here is I wanted to ask him a couple of questions about something that recently has happened in his life. So Deva, can you tell people what you have been waiting for?
In terms of visa process?
Yeah, in terms of visa.
Yeah, actually, now, like, I'm in, like, a work visa. So whenever, like, I change employer, like, I need to apply for new visa. So when I do that, like I moved from Michigan to Peoria around February 5th. So from that, like I was waiting for around 5 months to get like my visa, is whether it's approved or not. If it is approved, like I can stay long. If it is denied, like I have to go back to India. So in that process, it usually takes only 2 or 2.5 months to get the results. For my case, it took like more than 5 months. So I was like really worrying about it and very concerned about like that situation. And I talked with like Pastor Mike, and I really want to thank like many people. Like they send me like messages telling that they are praying for it. Within 2 weeks, like the visa got approved, and like I was really happy about it. And thanks for everyone. And after that week, I got to know that like how long I can stay in the US. Usually it's approved for like 1 year or like 3 years. It depends. And this time I only got approved like 6 months. So I'm kind of like concerning it, because that 6 months will be over in this December. So if it is going to over in this December, I need to again reapply that. So anyway, like my company is doing that. Hope like everything is going well on that.
Okay. So to shorten David's answer up, those of you, and I'm learning much about immigration and people that are here on visas. And the one thing that I learned, like David was saying, is that when you are here, up until the point where you get a green card, which could take up to 20 years, up until you become a citizen of the United States, you have to continue to reapply for a visa. And I know Deva had a good friend who applied about at the same time, and within, I think, a couple of months, he got an approval, and Deva hadn't heard anything. But so I asked him if, likewise, he would like to go on the prayer chain, and he said yes. And I sent out his telephone number, and people texted him, letting him know, don't give up hope, you know, God will provide. And so Deva was very excited. About a week and a half ago, he called me up and said, I've got my approval. Now, I don't know what the length of the approval is, but I got my approval. So he was very excited about that. And people on the prayer chain were, of course, praying for him to have a long extended visa, extension to his visa, maybe 2, maybe 3 years. And he got news back that he had been approved, but for the shortest amount of time, for 6 months. So now he has to reapply for the next visa almost immediately. And I started thinking about, you know, why would that happen? Why are some of our prayers, like Noreen's prayer, answered quickly and completely by God, and other times when we pray, it seems like very little happens? Well, I started thinking, one of the things that Deva had told me, that he could have been completely denied a visa. Unfortunately, the way our system is set up now, it's kind of like Wheel of Fortune. I mean, they literally, it seems as though they spin a wheel and determine by lottery how long you get to stay. But I know something good is going to come out of this, because already Deva told me, and this is very out of character, because Deva is very soft-spoken, very laid-back, almost shy. A year ago, he would have never done this, but he told me that he is contacting his employer at Caterpillar and asking if they will do an expedited visa for him, which will cost the company some money. So God is taking something that I know you had a certain disappointment with and using it for your good. So you are continuing to grow and transform. Thanks, Deva.
Thank you, Pastor.
Drawing upon the prophet Isaiah, Jesus declared, as noted in Luke, "My house shall be a house of prayer." So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to ask all of you, whether you have red shoes on or not, to do something outside of your comfort zone. And I'm going to ask people to form groups of three or four. You can simply turn around if you're close to some people. If you want to come out in the aisle way, you can do that. I'm going to have you take about a minute each, and I would like for you to do some intercessory prayer. And I'm going to give you a specific example. I would like you to pray for this church, that that a prayer revival break out in this church, that these pews are completely taken up with people. Think about praying for a ministry that you completely care about. Maybe it's being an usher. Maybe it's being on session. Think about praying for our church leadership, for Pastor Chris, for our session, for our deacons. Remember, prayer is simply having a conversation. So you are going to have a conversation with God in a small group. So take time now to break into small groups of two or three. And after you have prayed, sit down and I will close us in prayer. So please. So would you like to? Okay, I'm going to take time to close us in prayer. Thank you so much for stepping out of your boxes and doing something new. Actually, I didn't talk this over with Pastor Chris, but Pastor Chris did tell me that I could do anything while he was gone. So, I think he would, because I remember him wearing sandals one Sunday. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this wonderful congregation, and we thank you for the wonderful conversations we were able to have, to share with each other, and to start up intercessory prayer, or to continue interceding for others. And Lord, we ask also that these prayers of intercession become prayers of supplication, that we continue these prayers at home or in small groups. And we pray this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.